Hello and welcome to another episode of 10,000 Hours. I'm Grant Spanier.
And I'm Vince Cochi.
And today is episode 34 on this beautiful, beautiful day. Well, I mean, it technically could not be a beautiful day, but it's a beautiful day when we're recording this, and I feel like that will sort of perpetuate.
Yeah, I think the weather will be frozen in time forever until each and every person listens to this and then determines their own weather in their own city.
Exactly, and that's the beauty of the cast. And it's episode 34. We're talking with a close friend of both of ours and newly a business partner of mine in a venture that I've mentioned several times on the show called High Quality, the good homie, Mr. Jake Woodbridge.
Jake Woodbridge.
Super talented filmmaker, I think, is a good context to give.
Yes, I think that's the first thing I would say about him.
Yeah.
And a good guy.
Isn't that nice? And we talked a little bit about, fittingly so, about identity and what that means.
Yeah, absolutely. Apropos, because you guys have just started this joint enterprise.
Tied the knot, really.
Exactly. And so you're kind of coming up with an identity for it. It's still evolving. And we talked about just how important an identity can be, both personally and as a face of your project or your business, et cetera, and how people perceive it. And it can be a self-fulfilling prophecy in many ways. So it was an illuminating conversation, and Jake had some pretty interesting insights about it.
Yeah, and it was a fun one. I think it was, you know, in studio,
absolutely.
It's always nice to be in person when we can. So that was a good change of pace. We haven't had in studio for a little bit. And when we're talking about identity, part of my identity, I think, and of course we self-ascribe this many times, but part of my identity is focused on efficiency and productivity and sort of getting shit done. And a tool that really helps me get shit done and focus on the work instead of dealing with a lot of the crap is a little tool that I talk about quite a bit called Sanebox. Yes, it plugs into my email. I use Gmail to manage all my different email systems. And what it does is it will create another folder, and it'll basically filter out all of the crap. It's almost like a new age spam device that allows you to train your email system, which is quite nice. So it'll basically send everything to this folder. You get a daily digest email. You can deal with the email on your time. Instead of being a slave to the email, you take back control. It's quite nice.
Well said.
Yeah, and check it out. I really believe in the product. It doesn't matter, you know, anything besides that. But go to sanebox.com/10khrs, 10khrs, and download a free trial. Check it out.
Absolutely. Thank you very much, Sanebox. Thanks to Jake Woodbridge for joining us.
Young
a real
Bridge.
Homie. And thank you, listeners.
So, Vinny, tell me what you're working on. All right, Vinny, tell me what you were... I'm workshopping this. Vinny, tell me... No, that's not right. Vincent? Actually, side note, St. Vincent. Awesome new movie coming out with Bill Murray, directed by Theodore Melfi. Mm-hmm. We're checking out Santo Vincente, St. Vincent, Mr. Vince... Tell me what you're working on, Vince. What are you putting your time into?
So this week is the last week before one of our clients, Excelsior Brewing Company, has their annual Oktoberfest party, which is always a good time and a big deal. And we get to do some really creative work for them. You know, brewing client, any alcohol client is where you really get to flex your creative muscles. So it's been a lot of fun. We did the Misnomers campaign, where we hired some German talent to act like a Bavarian barmaid and teach our viewers German.
That old shtick.
So to speak. Yeah, that old song, that classic trope.
Yeah.
And so that's been a lot of fun. So the videos went up today.
Oh.
And the event is this
so
weekend.
So they went up like a week or two ago?
Yeah, because we don't like to date the show. But yeah, that's what I've been busy on. It's been pretty hectic, but...
So did she fly in from Germany?
No, she is an au pair working in America.
But that is a French term, right?
Yeah, but you can be an au pair from anywhere.
Okay, I just thought maybe there would be a German term for a German au pair, but... hey, potato, potato.
As we say on the show. Grant, can you enlighten us with what you've been putting your time into lately?
I'm not putting my time into.
I'm not putting my time into that Vasky music video that I've been talking about for so long, because it is officially out in the wild.
Very exciting.
Running around, jumping, spinning.
Spreading its wings.
Spreading. Well, it was more of a, it was a ground dwelling sort of video that we went for. So no wings on this one, but I appreciate the thought. So I'm not putting time into that, but I'm putting time into post on a couple of other videos. We have a Simon video coming out in a couple weeks, or might, you know, might drop around the time this releases, which is very exciting. So it'll be music video number 2. And besides that, just jamming.
And you recently returned from New York, right?
I did, and I was there with a very kind gentleman. Well, I was there on my own for a little while, going to Advertising Week,
yep,
which has become a yearly pilgrimage, an annual jaunt into the big city, into the Big Apple. But I was there for the last few days with a close personal friend, more recently a business partner.
Yep.
And we were, you know, doing some meetings, talking about some projects.
Mixing business and pleasure.
The best mix.
Yeah.
And that was actually Mr. Jake Woodbridge, friend of the show, somebody we've mentioned on the show before.
Close personal friend to us both.
And here's an exciting thing. Guest of the show today. Welcome, yes. Mr. Woodbridge.
Hello.
Thanks for joining us, Jake. I'm excited for this episode, man. So why don't you introduce Mr. Woodbridge?
Mr. Woodbridge has been a longtime friend and collaborator. I first met him way back in the day working at this startup agency thing.
I was a janitor.
You would be so lucky to have been called janitor. You were the janitor's intern's assistant.
Oh, man.
Boom.
I got to hold the mop.
That's all I care per about. Se. I met Jake there. We stayed in touch and then actually kind of solidified our working relationship with you, Mr. Vince, back when Jake shot and jumped on the, I was going to say on the bandwagon, but more like the
caravan.
Like, yeah, I was going to say the runaway train. That was Greatest Go West, that documentary that we're still working on, but we shot two years ago.
Yes.
And since then, we've worked very closely together. We shared a studio space for about a year in St. Paul, and then I moved to Minneapolis, and we've, you know, our own runaway trains have been running toward one another, which is nice.
Parallel now, I'd say.
I would say they've even collided and are now, collided and formed one.
Super train.
One super train. One hyperloop.
Definitely. It's
Elon Musk helped us out with the design.
It has my face, but your hair, I think. Oh. This train does.
Wow, I don't know how any female train could resist it.
I feel like it's probably got my caboose.
Yeah, guaranteed.
Wow.
Your caboose.
Wow, boys.
Welcome to the show, Jake. Jake is, I mean, more context, I guess. You know, we both kind of had our separate entities that still exist, Les and Woodbridge Pro. But Jake is a director, you know,
filmmaker, storyteller,
getting more involved in the writing side.
Dungeon master.
Yes.
Which I won't get into, I don't think, right?
We don't have to. It's kind of the...
Maybe. All right. It's a pretty loose show, so you never know.
Fine.
So welcome, Jake. Do you want to ask him? I'll ask him.
I'll ask him. Thank you, Jake, for joining us. And let me do the honors.
Hmm.
What have you been working on recently?
It has been a lot of post-production. We've been shipping some vids.
Shipping vids.
It's shipping vids left, shipping vids right. Like I said, I just got done with the Vasky deal.
For sure.
Audience received it pretty well.
So far, yeah. It's only been out a couple days.
That's been like 24 hours, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's been 24 hours.
How many views?
It's over 100,000. I know that much.
Whoa.
Maybe not.
Not accurate.
I'm not into stats. Don't ask me.
I think
stats.
Maybe 60K or something at this
point.
Oh,
that's really good for 24 hours.
Well, you know what?
Sure.
By the time they hear this, maybe.
No, it'll hopefully be over 100K.
For sure. For
yeah.
sure.
So that's a good point.
Stats, that's awesome.
Statistics. No, but otherwise, it's just been, you know.
Working. Yeah, we've been kind of talking about the next stages because we just pushed out high quality, which has been a project in and of itself. But then even the projects we're doing under that name, we did a cut for Vasky, the same guy we did the music video. We did a thing for him at the Twins game. He DJed a Twins game, which was super goofy, like a month ago.
I was into it though. It was awesome.
That was super fun. Sure. And we started working with General Mills, which is like a cool opportunity, especially, you know, our separate companies are a bit more mature, but this venture is very new, but we've had some of our old partners and new partners kind of just like totally trust us and hop on and, awesome. And give us some cool opportunities.
They're into it. I think they're into it.
How could they not be, right?
They're feeling it.
And I'm glad you guys brought that up and brought up the fact that working on your new collaboration, which is high quality, is part of what you're working on, because it just doesn't pop into existence, right? Which falls in line with what we're talking about on the show today. Today's topic is identity and what our creative identities mean and how we build them and how we cultivate them and how other people see us through them. So what I'd like to start off with, if I could be so bold,
I'm not allowed,
is to ask you both, how do you see the identity of this newly formed high quality? What is the identity of high quality?
Well, I think to step back to the roots of it, which is usually a good place to search for the identity, the impetus for starting this was that Jake and I both have what I would call successful businesses of our own, successful identities of our own. And there are a lot of determinations of success, but I think that means, you know, companies that are in the green, that have clients, that are doing work, and work that we're proud of.
Yep.
Okay? So we are both self-sufficient, and then we have begun collaborating more and more and more, and we see the opportunity to kind of come together more officially, to reduce friction with clients, reduce confusion, and kind of step up the game and stand for something a little bit bigger. So to me, high quality is sort of our flag and our stake in the ground to say, like, hey, we're here, we're pretty determined and committed to this thing. And this thing stands for very, very high quality work, of course. No, but really, I mean, it's not a joke. It's like, yeah, we're committed to doing really fucking good stuff. And this is a way for us to put that stake in the ground and to funnel this through an entity that is focused on that and is focused on that alone. That's what I like about this is, you know, I've been running video stuff, film stuff, storytelling stuff through Less, and it's kind of broadened the scope there. And now I've kind of like paired that off and no, this is just this. And this is what we're focused on.
For sure. Well said, Grant. Do you want to add anything to that, Jake?
Well, everything that young Grant said, and more probably just, you know, so much to it. I guess the biggest thing for me is, you know, it really starts at the womb, you know, when we're born and
sloshing around in that, embryonic.
Exactly. Louis. Yeah. Well, you gotta think about it. I mean, also finding someone that you can partner with is very important. And that, and identity, I think, forms in your childhood and how you see things and how you, your style and how you develop. And then when you know what you want, then you finally start to execute that. And it's, you know, I think it obviously starts way before you even think about starting a business.
No, you know what? I think that's actually, he's getting a good point though. And Vince, I'd be curious to hear some thoughts from you, because high quality, just like 10,000 hours, just like a lot of the other things that I've been involved in, and I would assume you guys too, it's just like an organic thing. I mean, there's intentionality, certainly. Like, there's intentionality in me trying to get more involved in film stuff, you know? I mean, dating back for a couple of years now, and almost progressively so, you know, to the point of obsession. So that's like putting something in motion. But then what develops out of that is pretty organic. And this partnership, it's like, it's just really obvious. It's not even like, it's like, oh, this, no, it's just, this is an obvious step. It's like, yeah, let's take the training wheels off. Like, we're doing pretty good on the training wheels, so let's take those off. Let's progress. Let's,
for sure.
Let's, you know, let's just like step it up.
Absolutely. So what I'm hearing kind of is that the identity of high quality is in many ways a reflection of your own personal identities, more than something you guys consciously sat down and strategically whittled out a niche. You guys mostly formed it and had it reflect yourselves.
Yeah.
I think pretty much it's just the duality work so well, because we've been working together for 4 years,
yeah.
just not under any banner.
Yeah.
Yep. And I think that if we were different, then it wouldn't work that way. Does that make sense?
Right.
Yeah. And,
it does.
And it, you know what, man? Like something like this, it's just, it's such a fresh thing for us, and it's a way for us to get rid of any sort of baggage that goes along with anything else and just really build what we want to build in a very focused way. And there have been a lot of like tests and stuff we've both gone through personally and seen each other go through. Mm-hmm, and then now mm-hmm. it's like, no, yeah, like it's, and as organic as it is, it's also like, just like a relationship in any way takes work, and it's, you know, we put a lot of intentional effort into it.
For the longest time, Grant and I were both like anti-partnership.
Fuck partners. It was no kind of like, it was like a mantra.
I'm glad you guys said that. I'm glad you said that, because you guys are both very independent people.
Yeah.
And I've known you to be very independent people for as long as I've known you. And you mentioned earlier, you both have your own thing. You have your own business, which is kind of how you made your name for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
What I want to know is, how much of those original identities have become a part of High Quality, and how do you balance kind of sharing your personal involvement across these two things? Is it something you have to think about? Is it something that isn't even a problem, or does one distract from the other, or do you see them as supplementary? I'm just curious, as someone who doesn't have something like that, doesn't have a brand that he has to worry about maintaining, how do you guys find the balance?
I think, well, okay, so for Woodbridge Productions, it's like, even for less, the scope is a lot broader. So, I mean, I'll do a lot of video production. High Quality will be sort of, you know, just storytelling and those type of projects, real cinematic projects. And gotcha. I think that that through the work and whatnot, that will sort of create itself.
Yeah, it's just like, if you think of even, if you think, let's put it in booze terms, right? Like, hold on. That's not to say, right? I was going to say, there are different levels, there are different types of brands, mm-hmm. and some brands are more utilitarian, are more, like, functional, and get this job done and do that. And some brands are a little bit more premium, and they cater to a different audience, and they work with different types of people. And I think that Less and Woodbridge Pro are two entities that we have that work with a broader range. And I think High Quality is something where it's like, we're bringing all of the skill sets and the client experience and, of course, the craft. But now we're kind of being more intentional about who we want to work with and the kind of projects we want to work with. And it's easier to separate it there.
No, I totally get it.
Yeah. So you asked like 9 questions, I think.
No, but you answered most of them.
Okay. 7 of 9, maybe.
Yeah.
More than 50%, round up. 5 of 10 goes all the way. 100%.
There it is.
And that's math.
I didn't really follow. I'm not much of a mathematician, Grant.
Likewise.
I got a C- in high school math. That's the last math class I took.
Yeah, I didn't do so great either. But we're putting in 10,000 hours, right?
That's right. That's right. One equation at a time. All right, cool. So it's a young brand still.
Yes.
High Quality is only months old.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But its roots go deeper.
Of course.
A lot of the recent projects we did in 2014 have been basically High Quality projects,
yeah,
in a way.
For sure.
We both have worked on the majority of everything. So.
Yeah, and so that's another thing, too. It's like any project, it's just a way for us to like almost highlight our own collaboration. Mm-hmm.
So when I think of a new brand, I think of it very much as in a molten state. It's evolving and kind of
fluid, dynamic.
Yeah, it hasn't solidified yet.
Yeah.
Do you guys feel like that's true of High Quality? And have you witnessed it change even in its infant stages?
I don't think yet, but I think that it definitely is in a molding state right now. Who knows? We could be hardcore into music videos, and that's something that we sort of just dabble in right now. And I just don't know.
I think 100%, and that is because that, like, that very fact that you said there, this idea of, like, fluidity, is what attracted Woodbridge and I to each other as partners. Because sure. It's not about necessarily looking at the path of least resistance, but it is looking at the path of opportunity and the path of, I mean, for the longest time, to be candid, it was, how can I jump over the hurdle every month? How can I keep the doors open? That's the only thing that matters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
And so that kind of drives a lot of the decisions. And then it's like, the next stage is like, okay, well, like, what path do I want to be going down? Or you start to get more intentional, more intentional, more intentional. And so I think this is a step toward that more intentional level. But it's just like, even we've talked about this on the show before, this idea of the adaptive career path, the multi-target idea that, like, I'm not worried about, I'm just moving forward and toward like an alt, or to, you know, toward a deeper goal. Mm-hmm. And toward the ultimate goal.
Sounds intense.
And yeah. And it's just like, I don't need to define it necessarily. So it's just, I think that it's super fluid. It's not unfocused. It's just, I think that is our identity, which is flexible.
Flubber.
and adaptive and quick.
Agile.
Agile, there it was. There was the buzzword I was missing.
I always got your back, man.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Great.
A bit. Yeah.
Do we want to go a little more broad now? We've talked a lot about
high quality
yeah, yeah. But that's good because it's what's topical with you guys.
And that is our shared identity.
Exactly. Can a good identity be one that's fully manufactured and 100% intentional without any sort of organic inspiration? Or is that something that people who are looking at that identity are going to immediately kind of rebuff?
I think that they're going to get that type of product through that type of identity. You know, I was once a part of a business that was exactly that. It was like, hey, let's set this up so we can just ship left, ship right, once again, you know, every day, all day. Uh-huh. And that would be the product that our customer would receive. And sometimes it's what they want, and it was inexpensive, and that's fine. But there wasn't a lot of thought that went into it, because there was no, you know, there was no black dirt to grow any blossoming roses from.
Beautiful. Yes. Beautifully stated, Woodbridge. Here's the thing, and it is a self-awareness thing. It truly is. And I think, especially with my experience in working with a lot of startups and working on a ton of branding and identity projects and trying to figure out the positioning for people, I'm like acutely aware of what goes into an identity, what goes into a good identity, and most importantly, what goes into an authentic identity that can actually connect with people. I honestly think I can manufacture some graphics and some other things that will like tell an interesting story and that can connect to people. But people's bullshit meters are so good. It's like, if this isn't authentic, if this person isn't owning it, if they don't really believe in it, it's usually pretty easy to tell. Like, you can only keep up the facade for so long.
Absolutely.
And so I think what Jake was talking about, which is, It is a brand that is just at a different level, not necessarily good or bad. There is like a premium versus like a non-premium. I think that's totally okay. But what I struggle with in terms of identity, especially when we're talking about brands and companies and even people like as freelancers or whatever, is like being aware of what you're selling and the level you're at and like owning that. And I think where a lot of people either fall off or where brands don't do very well is they think they're something they're not. You need to accept what you are, at least in the current marketplace. And if you want to be something else, then put steps in motion and start to embody that. But I think that this is a good example of that, right? Like, if I was to say the video quality of Less, you know, like, let's say the stuff we're doing with that, it's good. I mean, it's sort of like also kind of confusing, but mm-hmm. then, okay. So then put steps in motion, and they've been in motion for a while, and continue to be in motion, and then up your game and create something else. I mean, you know, it's just like,
What do you want to attract? You know what I mean?
Oh yeah.
The type of work that you want to attract. And that's kind of what high quality is kind of pinpointing that for us.
For sure. I think understanding yourself and then understanding the people that you want to understand you.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And through doing both of those, you can start to craft what I think the perfect word for it was authentic.
Mm-hmm.
And if your identity
isn't
authentic,
dude, it's like
when we do work, when we do branding and identity work at Yamamoto, we try to figure out one true thing about the company we're talking about. And as long as we can find out one thing that's really true, one absolutely true thing, then we're already, we got a good start, because there's going to be something that has proof in interaction.
Mm-hmm.
So you guys have both done identity work in the past, right? Like, what do you...
Like, what do you mean by that?
Like helping brands
find
their identities and portray themselves.
And I even actually did Woodridge's identity work.
He did.
Right. So now I'm interested to ask, what kind of steps do you go through to mine these insights to kind of wash away the veneer and see the mirror of the of the company that you're working for?
I mean, for me, a lot of it is... well, it's first of all, like initial face-to-face conversations, and then kind of extensive homework that I would give if we're talking, you know, about like branding, positioning, startup stuff. And then the, which my actual role or my actual deliverable is based on that, is like the branding and identity. I get pretty extensive homework that has a range of questions, some prompts, and a few exercises.
That's good.
And what I find is that, that stuff gets people, gets these company founders, which typically I'm working with, thinking in a different way and kind of having to own something instead. Cause here's the thing. And I've been there because I am a company founder. You hear these guys talk and it's like, I think it's convincing pitches that they're giving, but from one, you know,
from one bullshitter to another,
yeah, a million of these, I'm just like, hey, okay, like let's really talk now. Like, that was a great elevator pitch, but now, like, tell me what the fuck you're actually doing.
Right,
you know,
right.
It's like, okay, so what we're doing is we want to crowdsource innovation. Okay, we're gonna tap into this crowd. Mm-hmm. We're gonna tap into social proof, and we're gonna start integrating that.
We're gonna bring that
at the fore of the digital revolution.
So that's bad. that's an example.
I only work with Aussies.
right. Talk about a niche. But no, I think that's a great point. Getting them to be introspective and self-aware is
and candid. I mean, like
95%
acknowledging their own, like, because you have to put on this armor as a founder or as someone who is like has
a vision.
You have
to really sell and buy into the brand. Yeah, it's got to be your life. Yeah,
and it's like as someone who like needs to like perform like open heart surgery on their brand and get in there and like extract some sort of like vessel of truth, I need you to like, okay,
take off the
disrobe.
That's a great analogy as always. Jake, as a man who points a camera at clients, some have said that the camera is the most powerful mirror.
Ooh, I like that.
Where do you go to get past this so-called armor into some of the brand insights and make the brand's true personality shine through in your work?
See, and that's where I can't wait for high quality to start, you know, rocking and rolling, because that's sort of a challenge, because some clients, you know, they just want something right away, real quick, nice and fast. Content,
done.
You know, they just want content, and it's almost you don't get the opportunity to really dig deep with them. So you get on set and they're just like, yeah, just get this, do this, and then there's a million people trying to direct you, and you're the director, and then it's like, you know, this should not be like that.
But no one's doing the job
exactly. Yep, and that's and I mean it doesn't, and that's not necessarily the client's fault. It's just a lot of time. It takes time to really take these deep dives with these these clients.
Two things on that. One is that we're like, because we both have other things that are diminishing amount of time, you know, we're putting more and more energy into this thing. But that does give us the flexibility to say no. And we have been saying no, which is like a really great feeling to say, no, sorry, that's not what we do. No, sorry. That budget is like not realistic to get the kind of quality we want to do, or the story just isn't right. Or the brand is like, sorry, we don't believe in you. And so the story we tell isn't going to be believable. That's like an incredible flexibility. And of course that is a luxury, you know?
Yes. It's just, I mean, the saying no is or being able to say no is the greatest feeling in the world.
But let me say this. Man. So our ability to say no is responsible. It's responsible to the client. It's responsible to ourselves because we don't engage in things that aren't going to be positive for both of us. Okay. And where that jumps to is our ability to find the core of something and to find a compelling story, to find an authentic story, is vulnerability and honesty. When we say no, that's a very honest thing.
Absolutely.
It's not a power trip on any regard. And so even if I think about Vasky, right, that was a good case study, I think, in talking very honestly about what he was thinking, what they were feeling, what the point of the song was, what the point of his new EP was, and then coming up with a concept that was based on that, that was grounded in something he held as true. And I think it was very much like this coming of age, nothing too serious, but something that like had a message and a story. And like, we definitely wrapped a story in there because that's kind of the stuff we want to do for the most part. So I don't know. I think that is an ability we have. I think even back to another example that we'll show notes too, is like a check and connect, the report card gig. And
that stuff was really good, by the way.
Well, yeah, and let me give some credit where credit is due to Mr. Woodbridge, and to say this is even an example of something that makes me want to partner with him, is to see someone else's voice and someone else's identity. So I've been writing a lot of scripts, mm-hmm. with Jake, and this was one where like I wrote a script that was very vanilla, just bullshitty. I mean, not even being something, it's just honestly, it was fine. And Jake had a concept that I was just like, meh. Like, I wasn't like, I don't like it. I was just like, I don't get it.
Sure.
That didn't mean I didn't like believe in it, but it was like, I don't get it. Like, I don't get it at all. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, I sort of like took a step back, trusted him, mm-hmm. homie ran with it. And we came up with this beautiful thing that was like, afterwards it was like, oh yeah, of course. But
great,
therein
great
lies
looking
the challenge,
stuff,
right?
Too, by the way,
like, pretend I'm the client there. Mm-hmm. I see this thing, I don't get it, like, mm-hmm. right? And but now I think our both of our experience in trying to pitch these ideas, and here's where it comes to the fore, is pitching ideas we believe in and that we know we can execute on. And I think that's what we both bring to the table, and I think that comes from a sense of identity. And I think being a director in general is like, oh, I know who, no, I haven't achieved self-awareness,
right.
but I have a voice. Like, I have a voice and I have a vision.
Absolutely. And I mean, the two things before we maybe dive into another segment of the show, ooh. that I really latched onto.
Which is actually going to be, oh, this is going to be such a great segue, man. I'm really excited about this segue.
And now I'm nervous
because
I didn't have a plan.
But before that, I do want to
put a somewhat of a bow on what was a great series of points by both you and Jake. That identity, of course, comes from the awareness of the people working on it and the self-awareness of the people working on it. But identity is also the company you keep, to a degree.
Oh, yeah.
And cultivating the people that you work with, be that as part of your own brand or as clients or as associates or vendors, etc., they reflect upon your identity. And being able to choose the people you work with goes a long way in cultivating a certain image. So I'm glad you guys touched on that.
That is actually a really good point, though, because, I mean, Jake and I are choosing to work together.
Yep.
We're seeing the positivity and the potential in our partnership, and we're approaching our client and other partnerships in the same way.
Absolutely.
It feels really fucking good.
More esoterically, sometimes a person's identity becomes personified.
Sure.
Becomes tangible in the form of a character.
A character.
For instance.
Fantastical.
And so, if I might digress for a moment.
Please, digress.
And bring us into today's off-topic topic, which is a video game beloved to the three of us.
Millions.
And to millions.
Trillions.
The world over.
I don't know.
Not that many people in the world.
Not mathematicians.
Right.
Well, Woodbridge, stop.
How do you know aliens don't play this, dude?
Here's the thing.
Here's what I hate
and love about Woodbridge. Hyperbole.
Okay, go on.
Hyperbole Woodbridge. I hate it, but it's also like, I don't know, it pushes me.
I'm glad.
Speaking of Woodbridge.
Super Smash Brothers.
There it is.
The franchise. The entire franchise. We're talking today mostly about the original. For those of you who do not know, you should. Smash Brothers is a... Super Smash Brothers is a cult classic video game turned internationally super famous. Basically, nostalgic Nintendo characters fight to the death.
Yeah. Well...
But they don't actually... There's no gore.
No, to the disappearance.
Right. To the KO, right?
Yeah.
Anyway, it's a very fun game. And the new, the fourth installment in the series, comes out in November.
Wow.
Are
so
you serious?
If you're someone that keeps current with that sort of thing...
What system?
Wii U.
You.
Wii U. Yep, coming out for Wii U.
You.
And it just came out for the DS, the first ever handheld version of the game. There has been... That will be the fourth installment... Prior to that was the game I'm best at, which is Super Smash Bros. Brawl. Before that was the most competitive...
Melee. Oh my gosh.
Still played to this day at international gaming competitions.
Wow.
And, of course, the original that the three of us play together. And we might even have a game before we break up today.
I guarantee you we'll have at least three.
All right.
We should live stream that sometime.
I'm into it.
I actually think that would be a fun companion piece.
Live
like,
stream.
What's his name? McCray, episode 16?
Yeah.
I think, yeah. He does Twitch a lot, which is like twitch.tv where you like live stream whatever you're playing.
Absolutely.
He wants to get on set.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
He wants to...
That's just a side note, which I'm happy to...
Yeah.
Good luck to you, McCray.
Well, yeah. I mean, he was formerly. He used to be on our sets all the time.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Actually, I remember
the
that.
The first time I met Jake was when McCray on set. McCray was booming.
He was doing something.
Sound guy.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, man. McCray.
He was like my first guy.
McCray was a guest on episode 16 and was also a contestant on
Big Brother.
Big Brother 15?
Yep.
Yeah.
Wow.
The summer before last summer, coming to theaters.
I know you did the summer before last summer.
Smash
Bros. Are we
going
to talk about Fox McCloud and how he whoops the crap out of all his enemies?
So
stop.
We each identify with a character. You can select your own character in this game from a roster of classic Nintendo characters. And Jake Woodbridge.
What's your identity? Yeah.
I'm Fox.
Fox McCloud. Fox McCloud's from Star Fox 64.
Oh my god, another fantastic game.
A great game.
I had Super Nintendo Star Fox, which is great.
I didn't play it, don't know it, don't
Never
care.
Played it.
Yeah, whatever.
Wow.
Yeah. Jake, why do you like Fox McCloud, and tell me about how he pertains to you as a character.
He's a fucking director. He's got his whole little starship. He's got Falco. He's got Slippy.
Slippy.
Let me see. We got the other dude. I don't know. Yeah, and he's got his arch nemesis... Wolf. So you know my arch nemesis out there is I don't have one yet, but I'm gonna find one.
We gotta find you one.
And, he's commanding the ship.
He's in charge. He absolutely is. He's absolutely. Stoic,
but
too.
He is nothing without Falco and Slippy.
That's
and
right.
We know that.
Jacob.
So it's just he's a team player, but he knows.
But he's also a fearless leader, right?
Yeah, and he eats last, baby. That's just what he does.
Oh wow, Simon Sinek, great book, Leaders Eat Last. I don't know if you're familiar.
We've mentioned it on the show 10 to 15 times.
I think it's 21 now. I'd have it tallied on.
So. Yeah, Jake's a huge fan.
Massive fan.
Wow, that was a surprisingly insightful answer.
I mean,
not surprising for you, but surprising for the subject matter.
It seemed like it was like surprised that Jake would say something.
Well, what I think about when I'm playing Fox, man, this is going through my mind. I must.
Oh, this is good to know. Here's the thing. So let me jump.
Yeah,
and,
please.
And I'm speaking from the voice of Captain Falcon.
See up twice, jumping. Yep. You can press it twice, by the way.
I know, Jake. Thank you so much.
Newbies don't know that.
For that quick tip.
Captain Falcon from the F-Zero franchise.
Yes. And I...
Falco Punch!
That is his signature move.
I'm not too bad at it.
Show me the moves.
Which is his taunt move. Every player has a taunt move. But F-Zero
he doesn't get to use it very much, though, for some reason.
I abuse it. But F-Zero is actually a game that I have some fond memories of. Just quick side note, I recall playing this game extensively in Kohl's while my mother was shocked.
That is a great memory. That is a great one. That's nostalgic.
And this was a brilliant insight. Probably came from an agency or something, right? Like, hey, here's an insight. Mom's are shopping with their kids, and the biggest thing that's detracting from their experience is the goddamn kids screaming and yelling.
Those
let's put a video, let's put an N64 in the middle of the boys section, just have them like go play the game, which I did for like an hour while my mom shopped, and it was awesome.
That is brilliant. And is that why you play him? Is that why you play Captain Falcon?
I think it's like related. I genuinely do, because I actually had...
You were incepted with Captain Falcon as a child.
Yeah, Leo DiCaprio. Or Christopher Nolan, excuse me. I mean, the directions were important.
Falco's got some long-ass legs, so he does have long kicks. Legs.
And so I think I'm
deceivingly
like...
long.
I'm living out a fantasy as a short man, yes. Which I'm totally comfortable with. I think uh-huh. I'm living out... And also, I wear the black suit, all black. It's sort of... I don't know. It's like more in my persona.
It's cool. It's really cool.
Yeah.
I think Captain Falcon...
He's a captain, dude.
He's a captain, and he's also...
Both captains of ships.
Wow. Unreal.
Lots of high fives and
I think he's a very self-aware character.
So self-aware.
He indulges in his own persona to a completely saturated degree,
uh-huh.
which is something that either is the byproduct of complete ignorance or of complete self-awareness. So
he's also a little mysterious too, which Grant.
He's got some mystique.
He might be a little mysterious when it comes to storytelling style.
Oh yeah,
you know what I mean. Like Falco's wearing the glasses, his helmet, and shit.
Yeah, like so. Are you like in terms of like not giving it away?
In terms of some abstract stuff, I think you go a little more.
Abstract. Yeah.
Interesting.
I think some of that may be seen even in the Vasky, right?
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah,
slightly.
Definitely.
But not super.
I just know what you want to do with some stuff, and I totally get it. And I think that's stuff that you got to run with because.
Yeah, you know, which is the beauty of that relationship is that like, oh yeah, you have a voice, I have a voice. Like uh-huh. we can, man, it's unbelievable. But what I was going to say was Jake was getting at like the psychological aspect, which I think actually this was a thing that we bonded over pretty closely. It was
of Super Smash Brothers.
Yeah, it was like
unbelievable.
In the old studio, it was like, we're talking about stuff. It's kind of like it's Steve Jobs style walk. You know,
uh-huh.
instead of going on a walk, let's just go like sit down and like play Smash. And we can just talk, you know, talk openly mm-hmm. and talk about the theory of the game. And it's like
positioning,
or are we talking about life?
Timing, zone control.
There's so much.
I mean, even the physical presence uh-huh. of you together and like how you react. Like, I don't
yeah.
know.
Yeah.
We're getting at some pretty deep game mechanics.
Yeah.
Real meta.
Which we're not going to tell you about. Because yeah. I don't want you to get on it. But who's your character, Vince? I don't know.
The White Knight.
I play Link.
The White Knight.
But
you are always in white.
I always wear the white getup.
White? That's like a light blue.
It's like purple.
It's like, yeah. Not
white purple.
No, it's yeah. It's like some sort of like, what is it? Seafoam color. But yeah, he is the protagonist from the Zelda series of games.
You may be familiar with.
Yeah. Ongoing, and there. When I was a kid, they were the games I always played, and so that's what drew me to him. Interesting to know,
game actually
for sure. He's a silent protagonist. So I don't know what this says about me.
Well, how about Dizzy?
He plays. Yeah, he never speaks. He never speaks in the entirety.
He speaks through the ocarina to me.
Yeah, so this is interesting to me.
Actually, yeah, thank
you. So this is interesting to me, though. So that's like the thing I'm drawn to in some way. Like he was someone that a character you could use to portray yourself because he didn't have a strong personality.
Oh.
He didn't have almost any personality.
You could project on it.
Exactly. I could really put me. This little scrawny kid sitting in his bedroom in rural Wisconsin, I could put myself in Link's shoes. Or I'm not so sure I could put myself in Fox's boots or in Falcon's race car.
Right?
I know, they have huge personalities. And Link kind of just reflects what he sees in the world, the best version of that, of course. But I mean, even in his playstyle, he's a distance character. He's like keeps the other
right, he's got sort of
characters.
Weapons,
he's a long range character. So it's your job to kind of evaluate the fight and not rush in brazenly. So maybe more contemplative than I should give myself credit for in real life. But
I don't think so. And actually,
when he gets in the mess, man, got it. I want to stay away from that sword, dude. I'm just saying.
He can hit hard. That's for sure.
But he definitely has his
range.
He
brings the steel to the fight.
Yeah.
Hey, a few actually, like, I think almost more tangible insights here, too, though, is, like, when we were just talking about the psychology of the game and the psychology of the characters, to me what that represents is a willingness to think deeply about, like, what a scene, even. Or,
oh,
like,
for sure.
an environment or whatever. And a good point you bring up there is, like, okay, this is a persona that maybe we want to put in a story as a foil, or someone who can let someone that is you can project upon on, that you can relate with, that is like not so strong so as to alienate you, you know, character dynamics, which
absolutely.
Is, which I think is something, you know, there are a lot of things we want to do with high quality, and it's like, it doesn't even matter, 'cause it's like what we do is what we're going to do. Right. But one thing I think is that even just in the early stages that we really excel at is in our characters and how they interact in the story.
Absolutely.
And I think the performances we're getting have been like really impressive.
As someone who's just
give ourselves
observed,
too much credit for that, but
right. As someone who's been observing and watching the stuff you guys have been making, the talent clearly of a great quality, mm-hmm. and they seem to have been directed well. So
yes. And we get lucky with some of the
people.
Yeah,
we gotta give a lot of credit there, but I won't discount the compliment, because there is a lot of intentionality.
Absolutely, yeah.
And a ton of thought and energy that goes into that.
Absolutely.
All the way down to just like building the environment. It's like
set Zen, baby.
It's important. I really do like let's not get too deep here, but we take that same like almost psychotic approach that we're talking about to this Smash Bros. Game, to the way we're trying to build the environment on a set and mm-hmm. build the dynamics among the crew, among the story, among the characters.
I mean, that was one of the best segues of all time, so that I'm going to ruin it quick. Before we move on to our last thoughts, who's better? Who's the best Smash player at this table? And I know it's not me.
Let me just say something before there's anything ever answered here. Grant made my edge game so much better. He pointed out a weakness of mine. It was my edge play. I wasn't timing my kicks right, my smashes right on the edge. And once I figured that out, man, I'm ruthless on the edge. You don't want to fuck with me. I don't know.
In our most recent game, Jake won.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of evenness. I think it depends on the day.
It does depend on the day. And Grant, if I get Grant, it's more of like a real life game with Grant. You got to get him kind of mad. You got to kind of get him
on tilt.
Yeah,
exactly. Because I'm very much like influenced by that. I'm motivated by
You're an emotional player, while absolutely. Jake is more of a stoic.
And the thing is, but I've also lost horribly to Grant when he's on his game, and it's like, oh my gosh, I can't do anything.
More hot and cold.
Yep.
More consistent.
But man, see, here's the thing though. Here, let me again fucking tie it back. Is that whole interaction though with me and Jake, like being very honest about like something you see that mm-hmm. is not like, this is not to build me up, but to say like, hey Jake, like I think you would kill me a lot more if you did this.
You would basically he goes, you would improve if you did this, I think.
Yeah. And like that's the kind of mentality I think that we bring to it, and I think that is very ingrained in our own identity, and especially as a couple of dudes who have like kind of been finding and have found their own way in this industry and in any of these fucking industries. It's like, that's integral. And I think that's something we even bring to the client relationship, you know, because we're not so steeped in our own ego or in our like winning.
It can't be. Totally.
You know? We realize like we win together,
mm-hmm.
you know?
That is, I mean, very well said. I'll just leave it at that. Very well said.
You wanted to ruin it.
I wanted to ruin it, but I couldn't. But I would love to pose a pair of questions to our great guest, who's really been awesome today.
God, this guy.
It's been a lot of fun.
What a pleasure.
Hey, thanks.
Jake, we wrap every show the same way. We ask two questions.
Wrap.
First,
rap, baby.
How can our listeners support you? And second, if you wanted them to take one thing away from your time on the show, what would it be? Now you start with the first question.
Okay. Support.
How can they support you /... I'm just kidding.
You just gotta keep looking out for high quality right now. I think that's
awesome.
That's the biggest thing. We'll be throwing out some cool stuff coming out here, and just keep your eyes open, I suppose.
There's always something awesome in the pipeline.
Yeah.
How can they find you personally on like social media, man?
Like you want my phone number? So you're trying to say?
No. Like how you
social of all media is the phone.
You and high quality.
Highquality.com, but high quality is spelled HIGHQLTY.com.
And got no vowels in that second part.
For sure. Right. And so that's where they can find us, really.
Yeah, we're starting to like post a lot more stuff. Mm-hmm. Like I think That's
and the
exciting.
Vimeo page too. The Vimeo page, I always
that's kind of what
I like to find. I like to find artists and go to their Vimeo page and I follow them, and that's where I can keep up on a lot of their work.
Awesome insight. So you we'll show notes all
to,
that.
You can even go to Jake Woodbridge Vimeo if you want. That's
certainly
all,
a good,
everything's
that's
on
a good
there.
Follow.
And then yeah, that's pretty much it. Otherwise, you want to grab a cup of coffee, just hit me up.
All right. Yeah. You heard it here first, eligible ladies in Minneapolis.
eligible humans.
That's right. What would you want our listeners to take one thing away from our show? What would it be?
Of today's show?
Yeah.
Talking about identity.
You know what? Yeah. Just be true to yourself. I mean, is that too cliche?
No, it's perfect, actually.
You just got to be true to yourself. I mean, there's...
Harder said than done, right?
Yeah, absolutely. It's a struggle, and that's you just got to keep going at it, though. You know what I mean? And you'll find it.
That's what we're all trying to do, right?
Yeah, and eventually, who knows? Maybe there's another evolution of. I'm sure there is going to be another evolution of high
course,
quality
of
and whatever brand we are. And that's the fun part, though, right?
That. I mean, yeah, absolutely.
The cool thing I think for me is finding. Not just being true to yourself, but almost finding yourself with and through other people. And I think that's very much, you know, what we've been doing and continue to do. And it's been exciting to see how much we've grown each other and how much we'll continue to grow. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be a ride.
It already has been. And I consider myself lucky to even be close to the show.
The homie,
when this is
you're on
when
the
this
train
is all
day.
Happening.
You are riding.
I'm
on
a
the
passenger
train
for
day.
Sure. I'm a ardent supporter as well. So
and there was a moment where I know Jake took a bathroom break and you were just shoveling coal
into the engine.
That's gonna happen, and you know we went. Yeah, I guarantee you'd be riding for us.
Gotta curate the passengers.
I'd love to do
on
it.
Yeah, train.
I'll take you up on that.
Oh yeah.
So
no,
beware.
That's
beware.
We've talked about for mm-hmm. sure. I mean, I mentioned many times. I was like, I'd love to bring Vinny in on a script session, just kind of like we deep dive, right? It's like,
man, I always have fun doing that. So,
and then we can just take Super Smash breaks in between.
Uh oh, now I'm really
we
sold.
We're gonna give ourselves 3 games per break,
but no limit on the number of breaks,
of course.
Well, Jake, thanks so much, man, for joining us.
It was thanks for having me.
A special treat to do it with a good
what
friend.
A fun, loose conversation, like
get
among
loose.
The homies.
I know it was really good time.
Such a treat for just, I mean, even for us, man. What a good what a good excuse to get together and talk.
And so for an extra special treat, could I ask the first man? I know Grant might raise an eyebrow to this, but the first man I ever heard.
Careful. You be careful, because I was just about to say there's some controversy
right.
about this.
Ship it, baby!
Wow, just jumps the gun. Oh.